5.
60 minus.
Municipal approvals.
If we don't spend it by December 31, then we will have to return the money.
No, it has to be allocated under contract. Allocated under contract.
Obligated.
Right, so Jason, we signed the change order that obligated the balance. And the same with the proposal we got from John, the question is, did it get signed? It didn't get signed yet, it can get signed before the end of the year. But I asked Tony about that, and he said that that was a contract, and it would obligate the money for that purpose.
Okay.
Unless it's signed by a board.
Right, right, and I don't, off the top of my head, recall that we, you know, acted on that at a meeting or not.
I don't think you did act on it, I think you discussed it.
Right, so then it needs to be on the agenda for the next, right. Right. Okay, so the contract.
How much is his contract for both? One is $1,168, and he's been paid 5?
6.
6.
$1,168 was the.
Oh, and he's been paid $6,425, that's for the comp plan.
Right, that's for the change order on the comprehensive plan.
John's engineering for the improvement project is 5, right?
Right.
So that's $5,000 to John. So you need at least $11,000.
Right.
In there.
Right.
In the ARPA fund.
Right.
Well, that shouldn't say engineering costs for grant for John Fuller for $7,900 either, it should say bridge number 3.
For bridge, yeah.
Right.
It's one or the other.
Well, she wrote it as grant because ARPA grant, it was the ARPA grant.
Okay.
That's where she was, but now we have so many grants that that is confusing people, so.
Yeah.
Looks good out there.
You like that?
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Oh, the check is ready, though.
Huh?
Check for the stone is ready. You wanted to hand deliver it, right? No?
Do what?
Check for the stone.
You wanted to hand deliver the check, you said?
That's fine.
It's right here, you wanna take it with you?
Yeah, they were kind enough to do that right away and do their part.
Or we can mail it, whichever way you wanna do it, Kev.
That's fine if you mail it.
Alright, mail it.
Okay.
That's fine, just as long as they get paid right.
It's right here.
They were real good about that. And I, expensive rock, but I think that was reasonable.
What the cost is.
Okay.
Well, and we're not.
See if you can follow my notes.
Now it needs an eagle jacket on it.
Huh?
Needs a Philadelphia eagle jacket on it now.
Well, there's some things we need to do, the dedication stone, the monument too, and we're working on that. There's a couple different possibilities, but I wanna try to have this as cost effective as it can. And that's why I wanted you to have the bill from Thompson direct.
The total's up to $1,786.
We're not looking to make any money on this. We probably will do a companion monument to put in front of that. That's probably gonna be the cheapest way to, bronze castings are getting to be.
Crazy.
they're going out of this world.
Like everything else?
That number here.
Well, the problem is the amount of lettering to put it on a monument. When you get characters below 3/4 of an inch, they're very difficult to sandblast.
See if it comes to that number, I'm pretty sure.
And we can sandblast in our shop, but once we get smaller letters, then that becomes problematic. But I probably can have stencil made in Vermont and shipped. So I'm working on that, so that'd be good. But I wanted to have at least that portion done.
Looks nice.
It's very tall.
Well, it needed to be, you know, if it's in the air, then it's striking.
Yes. You won't miss it.
No, you can't. If you do, I guess you got a problem.
Yeah, my wife.
I sent a picture to Tim Quick and he seemed pleased.
Good.
And my wife went by the other day, right after you put up, she says, "Where the hell that eagle come from?" I said, "You saw it?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, then it must stand out."
Yeah.
Because you don't usually see anything on the side of the road.
Bob says it needs to be moved over 3 feet.
I wonder when you're going to say that.
3 feet in which direction?
Toward the door.
Yep.
I don't know. He's digging the hole and pouring the concrete, so when you get it done, I'll come over and move it.
Okay, so I don't know if you had a chance to look at this at all.
Started, yeah.
I looked at it a little bit.
The major concern that I have is that we don't seem to have a great system for making sure that money isn't spent if we are over budget. And we've tried a couple of different things to try to rein that in and make sure that we're double checking and triple checking. But so far, I don't think it's been particularly, it's hard to tell with the new policies because they are brand new, but I don't feel really confident about how effective they are. And I think we need to have some strong conversations because here we are, it's been only 1 year since we, you know, this is the second year since we raised taxes, and we're already looking at a budget that is only whole by virtue of grant dollars. That is not a good situation. This document had a lot of different suggestions, and, you know, many of them are things that are unfortunately not applicable for us because we don't have a fat budget. There isn't a lot there that can be cut out, because this township never grew in a fat way. So there's, when you say trim the fat, we don't have any, really.
We have no fat.
So we have to get careful, and we have to make sure that everyone is moving the boat in the same direction as far as being fiscally conservative when we're spending money and is aware of the limitations. Initially, I thought about a purchase order system as something that perhaps was more sophisticated than our little township really needs, and potentially a little bit of overkill for what we need. But I'm looking for other mechanisms to make sure that we're controlling the spending before we're getting, you know, reports that show that we're over budget in this line item and over budget in that line item, or where it's very clear that we're going to be over budget. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of ideas in this that are simpler than purchase order systems, but I think the purchase order system gives us the ability to constantly track and control. So it's not like, okay, well, something was ordered 3 months ago, and then, you know, it's just showing up on our reports now because it was bought with a credit card. And so when it was ordered, it didn't hit our books until the bill is paid, you know, which is, you know, potentially two and a half months later. So if we can get in front of the spending with a purchase order structure where we have an accurate information, accurate report all the time as to what we are expending, what we have expended already, it will give us a better chance to make sure that we're not over budget. And we have to make sure that we're all recognizing how tight this budget is, right? There's no staff training in this budget. There's no send people to, you know, to the PSATS event, or, you know, there's a lot of things that it would be very helpful if we could do that our budget doesn't have room for. And I think we just need to make sure that we're holding the line at what we're approving. If it's not in the budget, that we are at least recognizing, making a conscious decision that we're spending something outside of the budget, not that, well, it was bought and now we have to pay the bill, right? Which is, that's not the way that this is supposed to function. And it just gets us into a situation where we erode what little savings we do have left. When you look at the financial report today and you look at how much money we have in the bank, mm-hmm. how do you feel about where we're going to be on March 15th?
Let me type.
I'm not excited about that.
No.
Looking at those numbers and knowing that this time of the year is the time of year that we're cutting an additional check for the ambulance. You know, we're typically getting a bill from the borough for workers' compensation for the fire department right. that we might have to call and follow up on because they are notorious for sometimes waiting several years before yeah. they send us those yeah. bills when they end up being over budget. Looking at the amount that we have in the bank now and knowing what we typically spend at the end of the year, you know, we have to make sure this budget is too tight for us. Now that we don't have ARPA, we can't allocate any grant money next year towards covering shortfalls like we were able to do with the ARPA funding. We have to control the spending. It's a short-term issue to not raise the taxes because that's only going to carry us a short time. When the assessment goes up on the new warehouse across the street, the income will go up at least a little bit, and that may give us breathing room depending on how much time it takes. But our budget is
tight.
Very tight, very tight. And there's lots of things that folks would love to see us doing, that we would love to see us doing, that we just don't have the money to do, you know? Most surrounding towns will do the junk collection days, right? We don't have any money to budget towards that. We don't have any money to send our staff for training unless it's free training in the coming year. We did a little while we had some extra money this year with the ARPA funding, but it's dried up. We have spent it all. And that's going to give us the little baby surplus that we will have this year, which we are using up next year in order to keep the budget whole, right? To make a balance. So we have to get the spending under control or we're going to erode the savings that we have. If next year is bad transfer tax year like this year, we're going to have a problem when it comes to the springtime, not in 2025, but in 2026. So I wanted us to start having a discussion about, you know, how you want to go about implementing, you know, a system that will allow us to have accurate numbers about what we've spent and control the spending so that it's not being spent if it's not within the budget, which is also impossible to do if you don't find out something was spent until the credit card bill comes in the mail a month after it arrived or 6 weeks after it arrived, right?
How about if we did purchase order for everything, all our expenses, create a purchase order spreadsheet with our total amount of what's budgeted, and then have it change the color of the pricing as it gets closer, and then red if we go over. That can be done.
Well, first of all, you can't have red because you can't go over.
I'm just saying, colors.
I don't have a problem with colors. That's one of the ideas in here is to show colors. Our budget reports can show colors.
Okay.
And you've seen me do that with the budget when I give you the draft from time to time. I'll give you color codes of red and green based on whether that my numbers are going up or down from last year's numbers.
Set it up
right?
So when we get within a certain amount, it changes the color as the price goes in. This way, if we take a look at it, we know we're getting close to budget.
Well, but here's the problem. It's too late if you are close to budget, but stuff was ordered.
No, that's what I said.
That's not included in that number.
Said.
Right,
a
the purchase order system. Right.
You get a purchase order. As soon as the purchase order is written, it goes on that sheet. Future expense.
You can track your purchase orders through QuickBooks. Do you know how to do that? To run purchase orders through QuickBooks?
No.
No. Okay. So there's training there. Now, the new person is scheduled to start on the 25th and was a budget analyst, right? So that's a skill that may be brought to the table and easily able for us to leverage and use to put a system in place. But we have to get in front of knowing what the numbers are, because we can't even communicate to people accurately. Are they within their budget to go buy the next thing when we haven't accounted for what they already bought because the bill didn't get paid yet, right? And it's too tight. It's way too tight for us to not control it effectively. We will be in a situation in the spring of 2026 where we are getting a tax anticipation note if we don't carefully control that budget next year, and it's a bad transfer tax year. Now, very often this township has just had the wonderful, okay, it's no big deal, because it's a great transfer tax year, then all the problems go away. It can't be accidental. We don't have enough room for that. We just don't have enough room.
Well, we also got to figure you're going to have needs that you have to spend on. It's not like we're just spending willy-nilly.
Well, that's true. And the numbers that I'm talking about are unfortunately ridiculously small. But for us, that's still significant. It's still significant for us. That's the unfortunate part about it. And it does add up very quickly. Lots of things that we would love to do, and we've been pretty successful at going out and getting alternative funding sources to pay for stuff like the new truck. And, you know, thank you to our state legislators and to those who have helped us with our state legislators getting the funding that we need to get some of these things done without going through our regular budget to do so. But the sustainability of that is not there, right? That's not a way for us to have a long-term effective program. There is no area of our budget for capital improvements that isn't funded by grant money. There's no money that's set aside for fixing fixtures, replacing the roof, doing the parking lot. There's nothing in the budget to do that. That's just good fiscal policy to have it. We don't have the room to do it right now, and times are really hard for people, right? We'll see what happens with all kinds of things next year. But if we can control the spending, and then we have a great transfer tax year, we can control where that money goes. So that's the time that you can establish those kinds of rainy day funds and put things aside on purpose, in a purposeful manner, rather than, well, okay, but this got spent and that got spent. You know, we have line items in our budget that are designed for when certain things break, right? or to do the maintenance to make sure that we're not waiting for things to break. But we don't, sometimes we don't stay within them. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, you know, I mean, I think it's a conversation we probably should have with the office staff once the new person gets on board and we get a sense of skill sets, whether we need training to implement something like that. I think we need to communicate with the whole of our staff that we need their help to control the spending and to be fiscally conservative across all of the staff. We have great people doing, you know, valuable work, and we don't have people, we don't have fat. That's part of the problem. You know, there's this whole booklet is full of great opportunities for you to trim the fat, but
there is no fat to
there
trim.
There isn't any here,
that's
right?
The problem.
So there's only a few of these suggestions that are really applicable to us, aside from starting from the opposite end of raising taxes to a point that you have extra money or adding a different tax source, which I know none of us want to do, right? So step one is to get in front of the spending and keep it within the budget. And that also requires watching the income to make sure that the income is tracking on the right level, because this year, for example, when transfer tax underperformed compared to the last 3 years, it's not like we dived into our budget and said, okay, we're going to have a low income year, let's cut this, this, and this, because we don't have a lot to cut. Now, thankfully, we had ARPA money that we could allocate to regular spending, and we did that. We didn't go out and pick a whole bunch of additional projects. We used it for regular spending, which we're allowed to do, which gave us the room to cover the blemishes, right? But, I mean, what I heard Bob say, he's on board with the purchase order system. He thinks making it color-coded would help. I don't want to make it a lot of extra work for the office, but I do think we need to.
No, but I think I'm thinking along the lines of she puts a purchase order in, and if the thing changes to a yellow color, she can say we're getting close on the budget at whatever time of the year it is, so we can actually take a look at it and see what we got possibly coming up.
I would caution you to make this as simple as possible. It's simply you've allocated so much money. Does this item fall in that category? If it does, it needs to be put in that category and then signed for or acknowledged before it's bought.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
The purchase order system.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But often these type of systems get way more complicated than they need to be. That's all that I'm saying.
This is just setting up on a computer so it automatically does it.
Right.
That's
right.
All.
So.
And our QuickBooks system will manage a purchase order system. I'm certain of it. We just need to
make sure that... Well, and if you have somebody that's coming in that has expertise in that, then don't reinvent the wheel. Let them tell you what to do.
Not 100% sure that it was with QuickBooks that she was doing
but
that, but we'll find
change.
That out.
Just money conversations are always difficult to have.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is please keep it as simple as possible, because then you can keep track of it.
Well, and we just don't have the manpower to make it overly complex.
No.
We just don't. Right, Shahana, you have more than enough to do. We all can agree that the manpower isn't there, but Gary, you're very quiet. And your department is the bulk of the spending for the township overall.
I agree.
So I want to get a sense of, you know.
I try not to buy anything that we don't need.
But I get that. I get it.
And we try to buy it at the cheapest place possible to buy it.
And I think some of that is figuring out, you know, I know you're ordering things on Amazon and stuff like that, but...
Because it's so much cheaper.
Is it, have we looked at CoStars? Have we looked at shared purchasing opportunities or things of that nature that, you know, other opportunities where maybe we could buy something a little cheaper than.
Well, the problem with CoStars, there's nothing local CoStars. And now you play them.
But you order online and they ship it to you. They just charge you by the CoStars price.
Yeah, then you're paying big shipping charges.
Which might be, you know, better in the end than an Amazon Prime price. I don't know.
When we got the brushes for the broom, we went to Wilkes-Barre and picked them up because it was a $900 shipping charge.
That's being fiscally conservative. Yeah. And that's what we need to make sure everybody is doing.
$900 to ship them from Wilkes-Barre to here.
And some of that can be also making sure that people
know. I couldn't believe that.
They could buy it now. They could have it on the shelf. They could, or they could wait to buy it. And you know that based on whether you know the numbers on your budget. And we can't even really tell, you know, it's hard for you to tell your department where they are in their budget lines if we haven't even put all the spending in when we're giving them a number, right?
Yeah.
And so if we're ordering stuff, you know, we need to be able to plug that information in at the time that the orders are being made, not at the time that the bills are being paid. Does it make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. So I think that let's get the new person in the door and find out if it's QuickBooks experience or not. And if it's not, then we're going to have to look for training opportunities. And in the meantime, I think, you know, what do you think is the most effective way? I mean, really, we have three departments here, if you really want to dice them up, right? There's the land use, the office, and the road crew.
Right.
Right. So, and the bulk of the spending is with the road crew, is your department.
Right.
So you would be the one signing off on the purchase orders and making sure that the line items are listed and the numbers are there when things are ordered for that department. I don't think the officers mostly, very, very little spending actually happens there.
Yeah.
It's
usually
more
just supplies.
Well, ordering hearing transcripts, you know, ordering the transcriptionists to come, right? Okay.
Yes.
Call me, the North Township Supervisors, with a Pledge of Allegiance flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States.
All right.